Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for meeting on a Saturday. I know you have things that are a lot more fun you could be doing, so I really do appreciate it. The presentation today is really an overview of a summary budget, that's 500 and some odd pages, and we will try to highlight the most important changes that we think the community would be interested in. We have 25 slides to start the day with. This first overview will be recorded, and then we'll put that on the internet for those folks who couldn't make it in this morning. We'll have a break after that, and then we'll take deeper dives into the service lines that are represented in the budget. So with that, let me dive into the overview. First of all, thanks for again for being here today and for receiving this my first recommended budget to the council. I did feel a desire to take a moment and sort of put a bookend around the budget here with really what a budget is. It's nothing too much more elaborate than a list of what we care about, and how much money we attach to each of those things is how deeply we care about them. So, you know, as a community, we can do things together that we can't afford on our own. And that's really the purpose of city government and the budget. There are four guiding principles that were filters for staff as we prepared the budget this year. The first thing is transparency. Council has been crystal clear about the inadequacies of the past documents, how impenetrable those are or have been. So an immense amount of effort has gone into making this budget more readable, more understandable for everyone. And I think the staff has done that. I just want to embarrass briefly John Blattle, Laura Peebler, Kim Chick. I don't see her, but she was very helpful with that. And Tony Messina as well in helping deliver that product. I'm proud of it, and I think they've hit the mark. We'll always have room for improvement, but I think this is a much improved document. So by transparency, what we mean is you can understand what we're talking about, and you can follow the money. The other three guiding principles that have really guided this recommendation is the concept of living within our means, and so we are cutting the budget because of that. That idea means, pretty simply, try to spend what you get, and not more than what you get. We do continue to spend more than what we receive, although we have shrank that gap this year by $600,000. We'll get to that more detail in a bit. We also focused on a customer-centered culture, and this is you'll see examples throughout of this, and we'll dive deeper in here in a bit. And, of course, supporting high performance. The customer-centered culture, I am recommending a new department, and we'll get into that in a minute. And with high performance, we'll go through. So some more details about transparency. The nicest part for me in the new budget is that revenues and expenditures are on the same page. And so the big picture view is right there in the front, but there are also other performance measures, comparison charts, and another conversation about the service all in one place. Living within our means, the first most important thing I'd like to communicate to the public is we're not proposing any tax increase, at least in the rate, and certainly no tax increases. There are some fee increases. And, of course, in local government, we make this distinction between tax and fee, even though in many cases it feels the same. Fee for city government is that charge you could avoid if you chose to, that the fee only exists when you consume a service, versus a tax, which is we pay whether we use the service or not. So there are some fee increases, and we'll get to those details. We have reduced the use of general fund balance, again, through budget cuts, and we have plotted a course to reach that equilibrium where we only spend what we receive by fiscal year 2014. That will mean two more years of budget cuts to reach that. Reduced bus service. This is a recommendation. Again, we'll get into transit this afternoon, and then on the 22nd, we'll spend a whole work session just on transit. But that fund runs out of money in FY12, and this recommendation is a way to not run out of money by the end of 2012. Customer-centered culture. The community was very clear in the survey that roads were its number one priority for new spending. So I have been able to identify $585,000 in funding, a little bit here, a little bit there, to do more paving. That takes our total investment in paving to about $1.6 million. I'm also recommending the creation of a community development department. You've heard these terms before. We have three different sections, one department, an office, and a division that all sort of touch investment. So if you own a property, you want to make an investment in it, it is possible to get pinged around the organization in three different places, hear three different stories, because they focus on three different parts of our regulatory environment. That's terrible customer service. People exit that process not happy. And our goal is to streamline that, truly create a one-stop shop for anyone who wants to invest in their property, whether it be a garage behind the house or, let's say, an IBM. And so sort of from concept to ribbon cutting, there'd be this one group focused on making that successful and helping people navigate the regulation that we follow. And we're adding a couple of staff in the utilities, and the goal there is to handle more of the calls. We do have a number of drop calls throughout the year, and this would be an ability to answer those. In terms of supporting high performance, the real highlights I'll hit, you know, 2 years without a raise, the year before that, the raise was equal to an increase in health care costs for employees. So some folks feel like it's been 3 years without a raise. So I felt like one more year would be too much to ask. Therefore, this budget recommends a modest raise, 25 cents per hour. I'm structuring it that way because I feel like that's it provides the raise where it's needed the most. And time for that. We have found the money. It is included in the recommended budget. It's $1 million total spend, about half of that in the general fund. I'm reorganizing the manager's office. When I was interviewing for the job, the topic came up about how to organize the manager's office to more effectively manage this conglomerate of business units. This does that, and I can get into more details and move forward, but the short story is every job in the manager's office changes in this recommendation. Journey to Excellence, this was a great idea, I think begun when Bill Watkins was here, and it's so good I want to keep doing it. I also want to join the ICMA Center for Performance Management. That's a $5,000 initiative that will allow us to have very good apples-to-apples benchmarks with other cities across 15 service lines. We also are going to upgrade some key technology, our financial system and our court case management system. If you have questions about those, I know the judge is here this morning, and we will dive in earlier. There he is. And then, you know, the interesting thing about the budget, it's never a one-year deal, right? It is a one-year budget, but the things we wrestle with are long-term, and we always think about the next year when we're preparing the budget. So there are nine things in this budget message and in the budget that I recommend we focus on in fiscal year 12 and then implement in 13. This is that list. I don't think it's any surprise we've got to figure out how to fund the pensions, what to do with pension. There's out of something roughly $250 million in liabilities, we can fund $150 million of that right now, leaving $100 million unfunded. There are two recommendations in this budget which begin to walk toward a solution. I'll get into those in more detail. I believe they're relatively painless, and I stress the word relatively. And then we save the lion's share of the effort for FY12 implementation looked for in 13. Transit is in has a real problem, has a real budget problem. I've said repeatedly, we have a few problems in the budget. Luckily, they're not emergencies. And so we do have ways to solve these issues, and unfortunately, you all get to wrestle with the complicated decisions about how to move forward in a situation where we're simply running out of money in that fund. Airport, you know well about the airport. It's a critical jewel and critically important for our success moving forward with economic development. There are issues there we'll have to talk about. I am going to ask for a strategic plan from every business unit in the city. This time next year, I would like to have all of us know exactly what the goals are for every business unit. Yoga, I said this before, Yogi Berra, one of my favorite quotes, be careful if you don't know where you're going, you might not get there. That's true. So I'd like to know where we're going. Contact center, this is one that can pay huge dividends to the community. The vast majority of calls to the 911 service are not emergencies. By creating a contact center, you create equivalent service for non-emergencies. Even though we have a non-emergency number, folks still call 911 for non-emergencies. So this would help with that, would also up our game with all customer service. The idea here is design it in 12, implement it in 13. Also want to look into centralizing our fleet operations. Right now we have many little fleet operations. I'd like to centralize that. I'm confident we can save money and do a better job. Inspections is something I'd like to explore. This is an idea. Boulder has done a great job with this. You know, we are behind on certain inspections, and you may have heard a complaint or two about the ones we're not behind on. And this idea would allow the private sector to also do inspections. It's not a privatization that I'm talking about or an outsourcing. It's simply allowing the private sector to do them as well. It takes a bit of oversight on our part. We become more of a certification type agent versus the inspector. But we'll get into those details later. We do have to figure out what to do with stormwater. We've been wrestling with that for a little over a year, and we have some work ongoing on that regard. And I think if we keep working on it throughout 12, we'll have a pretty good solution by 13. And then finally, the Tourism and Arts Partnership. I'll just take a minute and say that I really appreciate the input I've received from the Cultural Affairs Commission and the Convention and Visitors Bureau boards. Tremendous folks. They do a great work, volunteer as you do. And they've made it pretty clear to me that I might be the only one in the city who thought that merging those two would be a good idea. I still think it's a good idea, but I am going to bow to the wisdom of those folks and recommend that we not merge them. And that they retain their distinct characters and identities. However, in my meetings with both groups, it became clear almost all of us feel like there can be closer collaboration. And I'll term it collaborating on purpose rather than on accident, which I think would characterize the work to date. So to that end, I will recommend that they produce a strategic plan together, consulting one another about their goals for the future. I also am going to move the cultural affairs staff to the Walton Building. There is room there for the staff, and just the osmosis you get from rubbing shoulders on a daily basis, that will help that collaboration as well. All right, so a few overviews. I want to focus first on the general fund because that's where 80% of our pain comes from, our financial pain, comes from 20% of the budget. The general fund is actually 18% of the budget. Here are the sources of the revenue for that fund. Probably the one reason this fund is always in so much financial strain is it can be used for anything. It's our general fund. It doesn't have a dedicated purpose. So it does tend to get pulled in every direction. And so certainly our general fund is no different. The big chunk there, of course, is sales tax and then revenue, intergovernmental revenue, gross receipts and other taxes. Property taxes are 9% of the revenue for general fund. The other way to look at it is how much of those sources are dedicated for a particular use and then how much of it is available for any particular decision-making you might have. It's about 75-25, 26-74% there. The highlights in the general fund, it's slightly lower revenue that we're projecting in 12 than we've seen in 11. And that's not because of sales tax. We think sales tax is going to continue to grow. We're conservatively estimating a 2% growth. We've seen more growth than that in this past year. However, the grants will be significantly lower, and most of those are in the health department. Intergovernmental, that's about $1 million higher, and that's due in large part to water and lights purchase of the energy center, and then the use of fund balance, and this is where I'm talking about living within our means, is about $574,000 lower than it would have been without the cuts we have. Here's another way to look at the expenditures by functional group, basically by service line. Public safety's almost half of the general fund, then transportation 12%, admins 20%, health and environment 13%, parks and rec 7%. Another way to look at how you spend money is it people, is it stuff, is it contracts? This demonstrates that 68% of all of our expenditures are labor, it's for people. And then you can see the other breakdown there. So the total increase in expenditures in the general fund is about 1%. On the personnel side, between pensions and the raise and the addition of four positions, it goes up about $1.2 million. We'll get into the position increases here in a bit, what those are. We're funding more street paving, and we have lowered street lighting costs. We also lowered the general fund subsidy to parks and recreation services. Basically, the park sales tax is able to pick up that $200,000. Council reserve, I took the liberty of cutting that by 2%, the same 2% every general fund department has had. Of course, it's your budget, right, if you need a bank. This is the fund where council can allocate funds without having to change the budget, without having to cut the budget somewhere else to fund something. So these are the funds that tend to be used for bike, walk, and wheel week, I'm getting it right, and salute to veterans, et cetera. In a contingency fund, I've recommended a $50,000 contingency fund back in. This is really, in my view, what the sort of 2% underspend really probably should look like. We've taken the route that here's the budget, and we've asked directors to spend 2% less in the past. While that works fine, my preference would be to get to a budget number that we can afford, where we're not using fund balance, and then simply have a contingency for those things that are unplanned or unexpected in the year that we need money for, we can go there again without cutting the budget or dipping into fund balance. The other beautiful thing about that is if we don't spend it, it goes to fund balance. So that's the general fund part. Now I'm going to focus on the whole pie, the whole city budget. So all city funds. As you can see, taxes are 15% of the revenue for the city government. I think that surprises a lot of people. By far, the highest chunk of revenue there is from fees and service charges. This is things like the electric bill, the water bill. So you can see the other breakdowns there. Grants are the third biggest part. Where we spend the money, clearly utilities is 48% of it. And then transportation is another large piece, 20%. Public safety, supporting activities, etc. You look at the entire city budget, 87% of the expenditures are from dedicated sources. 13% are from general sources. So you might think of general sources as discretionary and the others as sort of promised or dedicated. That general fund's wedge basically represents the general fund. So when people ask how big is the budget, here's how big it is. The revenues are $406 million citywide, expenditures are $430 million citywide. Well, most folks will see very quickly that's a $24 million difference. That's a lot of money, right? So the thing about the enterprise funds is this is a routine management technique where you spend the fund balance on purpose. So funds outside the general fund, we do have expenditures programmed that are above revenues. And, here are some examples here. Appreciation is part of that. And so it's not cash. I think I'll point out it's not all cash. Some of it is. And where it is, for example, with a utility, it's very common to raise a rate that generally brings in more money than you absolutely need at the moment, but generally because you're filling back up the savings account that you've emptied. We tend to wait till the last moment to raise rates, and that's usually a public policy decision to wait until you have to raise rates. So that's what puts us in this scenario where we're spending fund balances, we're waiting to raise the rates. So we can live off our savings account and postpone increases.
How much is the total depreciation?
Total depreciation?
I don't have that number right today, but I'll get it to you, Gary.
And we are keeping track, by the way, of every question you have. We will answer every one of them, even if we can't off the top of our head. So Carol's going to capture that, and Sheila does a great job with that as well. And we will
related to that question is there anything besides water and light that does much depreciation at all?
All of the enterprise funds would do depreciation. So
that would even include, say, Parks and Rec Services. Isn't that an enterprise fund?
Rec Services.
Go ahead, Mike.
Parks and Rec depreciation, $600,000.
And if you're Warren Buffett, you believe that depreciation is an approximation of the cost of capital, so it's real, even though it's not real, but that's highly...
It's not cash at the moment, correct?
What you're pointing out is one of the great difficulties in describing the city budget to a normal person who wants to see, well, how much cash do you have? It can be simple, you know. Did you spend what you brought in or not? And so we try to tell both stories because they're both valid ways of looking at the budget. So as we go through, we're trying to point out when we're talking about a cash approach and when we're talking about more of an accounting focus. with depreciation of the things. So in this case, the $24 million is not something to worry about. The $2.5 million in the general fund of that 24, that's what I'm worried about. So we'll focus on that more as we move forward. Position changes. This budget does include a net of increase of 20 positions. Four of those are in the general fund. Now, those four are all offset by either budget cuts or revenue that is coming in. So we'll get into the detail of that in a second. And then 16 in the other funds related to, for example, purchasing the energy center. You got to run it, right? So it's for those type of things. Here's the detailed breakdown. So you'll see on the left positions that were added in the general fund and then positions that were deleted. So eight positions added, four deleted, so that leaves a net of, 4.05 FTEs. Enterprise funds, you can see the details here, which again net out to, 16.7. So the other thing we want to stress here for the community while we are going through the overview is, what's this mean to me? What's the financial impact on citizens? Well, first of all, we're not proposing any increased property tax, sales tax, or gross receipt tax rates. There are some utility rate increases recommended in the budget, 8% for water and 15% for sewer. Most of that is already approved by voters, and the remainder is for just paying the bills, the operating costs of those utilities. The thing to stress here is the average monthly utility increase impact is the lowest increase since 2004. We really have tried to do everything we can not to increase the cost of government this year. This really just is the minimum increase we feel keeps us in business and healthy. Other fee increases outside of the utilities, food handler cards and recreation fee increases. We'll see the detailed list as we move throughout the day. Transit. There are a number of increases here. This is aimed at helping to float the transit or service for one more year. It's to not run out of money in 12. And so these increases, you can see are the details there. I guess the fundamental thing I'd like to point out is that 71% of our riders don't pay the full fare. They pay half the fare. So 71% of our riders pay 50 cents today, even though we've set the fare at $1. So it's that's something we'll have to wrestle with as we deal with the transit issue. And we'll go into some detail about that later today and on the 22nd. So where can citizens find the budget? Obviously, we have a website. I think everybody knows that by now. So gocolumbiamo.com. And then we do have printed copies, although we are moving away from that. We will have two available, one in the clerk's office, one in the finance department, both of which are in City Hall. So you can come down and view the budget in hard copy. There are four more meetings scheduled. Monday at 6 p.m. there's a public hearing. That's where citizens can come share their views on the budget at a council meeting. The 22nd is really where we'll dive into the transit issue. My goal there will be to lay out every idea that we've heard of, and we are doing a lot of research now from other cities and our own brainstorming to come up with any idea we have that would impact transit, either through revenue increases or expenditure cuts, or other funding scenarios. We will put those on the table, and the council gets the unenviable job of finding equilibrium. We will do that August 22nd. September 6th, we'll have another public hearing, again at a regular council meeting, and again at September 19th. So three chances for the public to communicate their views to the council at regular meetings. So with that, that's kind of the general overview of the big budget changes that year. I'd love to take a break. We'll stop recording and get it out on the internet for those folks who couldn't make it. And when we come back, we'll take a deeper dive starting with, I think, admin.
Okay.